Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from our earlier years, sometimes single stories, sometimes whole episodes. Keep in mind that years ago, people might have worded things differently than they would today. As always, the title of the whole series, Risk, is itself a content warning. This week, a story that Jessica Wise first shared on the podcast in January of 2015. Here's Jessica now with a story we call Our First Crisis.
My boyfriend and I had been on a very typical European backpacking adventure a few years ago, and we're in our mid-20s. A little background on us, we've been dating for a couple years and had lived abroad for a while, and we were able to save up all this money before we moved back to the US, so we thought, let's go on this big trip. As per usual, I plan most of it, and it's kind of a catch-22 always between us that I'm a control freak that wants to have everything planned, but it's always his fault that he's not participating either when I don't necessarily give him the opportunity to. So we're on this trip and we're checking off places on the itinerary, and we're going to Sevilla, Spain. And I really wanted to go to a bullfight. It was kind of a last minute thing on the trip, so I didn't diligently plan the hotel the way I normally had. And so the only room available on the Friday night we got in was at a hostel. And not only was that a hostel, but it was in one of those multi-gendered rooms, which are usually super cheap, but then not many people want to be in them because of exactly the point. It's worse than a college dorm, but with strangers. And so we think, you know what, it's only one night, who cares? I normally would not have wanted to be in that situation, but because I'm with my boyfriend, c'est la vie, it's one night, let's just stay there. We walk in the room, and it's on the third floor of this old Spanish mansion, and I mean, it's a gorgeous home, and had an open balcony, and there were windows in each of the rooms that faced out to the balcony because the whole middle roof was open because it's for airflow, and that the windows in the rooms could be open and from the inside as well as from the outside facing walls. There were two bunk beds available. There were three bunks that were lining the three walls. one of the top bunks was open and one of the bottom bunks was open. And I grew up on a top bunk and I said, no problem, I'll take the top bunk. I noticed because the window was right flush with the top bunk, it was a little high. And I thought, that's odd. I just want to make sure that it's locked and just normal safety precautions. And there was this old wooden shutter door that made this creaky sound when you opened it. There was no real lock other than this latch. It was pretty faulty, but I thought, you know what? The window's high enough up. It's really creaky. If anyone comes in, I'm gonna hear the creak. And there was no way that anyone just standing could go through the window. It would have to be fairly calculated to put a chair in front on the window on the outside and then go up and then open the window. And I'm usually one of those people that thinks I'm gonna get raped around the street corner everywhere I go. I carry my key in my hands and I'm ready to deck someone if I have to, and I'm always thinking like that, so I'm glad that I ran through the scenario in my head, but kind of checked that box being like, I thought about it, I know how it would happen, so you know it's not gonna happen, I can go to sleep. In that millisecond between when your brain's awake but your eyes aren't open yet, I felt a hand. I had a long summer dress on, I had the sheet on, and I had underwear on. So the hand was like right on my genitalia, ready to go all up in there. And in that millisecond, I'm thinking of John, my boyfriend at the time, who's with me, and I'm thinking, why would you be touching me in a room full of strangers in the middle of the night and I'm sleeping? Like, how creepy, even though that you would never do that. And I remember thinking that. I'm blinking, I'm starting to wake up, and I look to my right, and my senses are starting to turn on, like, okay, window was to the right, and I'm looking over, and I don't have my contact lenses in, and I have really shitty vision, and I just see this blur of a man, but it's just a mop of black hair and a black beard, and my boyfriend has red hair, so it's not him, and I'm looking, and now he's starting to speak in Spanish to me. He's whispering. I could tell in my limited Spanish that he was just talking dirty to me. I'm frozen just for a second, not realizing what to do, and all of a sudden my fight or flight response is just turned on, and I go immediately to go and punch him, but I fall through the window. He's ducking. I see that there's a chair there. I hold myself with the window pane or else I'm gonna fall through the window. And he's able to like scrounge down, run down to the staircase. And because of those balconies, how you can see everything, I could see him go down the stairwell, go into the second floor bedroom and close the door. So I'm able to push myself off the window pane. And at this point there was enough commotion that now John's near my bed, like what happened? And I just remember yelling, he touched me. Immediately he's asking questions like, touch you where, what happened, rather than like, go get him. And I just wanted to act. And I remember being like, we have to go to the lobby and block the door so he can't get out. So we sprint down the stairs and we're in the lobby area and there's the front reception desk. And we see a sign that says, attendant not there until 8 a.m. And then there's a clock to the side that says 6:45. No phones around. Thank God I could see it in the background of the lobby. It was a pretty big lobby. There was a girl on the computer in the back, and I go up to her and I say, can you please call the police? And she's like, oh, I don't speak English. I'm like, pull aside, police, polizia. And she got the message and could see that I was agitated. So I saw that she called. John and I are just standing there in the middle of this beautiful old mansion, just waiting for the police. And all of a sudden down this open stairwell comes the guy. He must have taken off his shirt because now he's putting on his shirt as he's walking down the stairs, kind of in a, oh, what's the commotion going on down here? And in my head, I'm thinking, you fucking asshole. Like, he's walking down the stairs and then now I have this opportunity again. And John's standing there, but I just run up the stairs, I go boom, and I punch him right in the face. And unfortunately, my 5'7", 120 pound frame body didn't do much, but now I'm just irate, and I'm screaming at him, like, you fucking asshole, what the fuck did you think you, who do you think you are? Like, I'm just livid. And he goes to John and goes, you're a man, I'm a man, like, she's a woman, like, so I touch her. And I'm yelling at John, like, punch him, knock him out. Like, fuck this guy. Like, this is, what the fuck? And just nothing. I remember just being so angry that, like, I'm gonna wait outside, block the door from the inside. I'm gonna wait on the outside for the police. And so I'm waiting outside thinking, like, what the fuck? And here I still don't have my contact lenses on. So not only am I, like, emotionally, like, everything's starting to come out now, but, like, I can't see either. So, like, it's just such a bizarre memory, too, that I have not my real vision of memory. Like, it's this, like, whitewash blur. I can see the police car rolling up in the distance, and all of a sudden I hear all this racket inside, like, tables falling down, like, glass breaking. The guy runs out the door, and I remember being like, no, he's gonna get away. And I grabbed the corner of his shirt, and I still remember that feeling of, like, you know that when you can't hold on to something and, like, just trying so hard to hold on to it, and grabbing the corner of his shirt and not seeing where John is. And then all of a sudden I see him come out, and the French girl had a boyfriend apparently that almost looked like Fabio, had this, like, blonde hair in a ponytail, just huge, like, wrestler body. And between the two of them were able to tackle this guy. And John was smart enough to get on the guy's back, like, put his knee in his back, and then pull out his wallet and throw it in the opposite direction that he was laying in. So God forbid he got away, at least we could ID the motherfucker. And thank God the police came. He was still there, and we were able to file a police report. We know that he was arrested. Don't know what the Spanish court system ended up doing with him, but justice was served in the best possible way that you could think of in this situation, that it wasn't this, I think of so many stories that you hear of drunk American girls, you're just being not smart, walking through, like, these things happen all the time, but, like, I happened to be in a situation that I was able to react quickly, didn't have any alcohol in my system, and that I had a loved one with me to be able to help. Awkwardly, we go back to the hostel, and the hostel owner refunds us, and we get a hotel room like we actually thought we were gonna plan on doing the next night. And I just remember laying on the bed, John laying there next to me, and then we started kissing and proceeded to have sex like a normal couple. And I just, for that split second, I remember thinking of what had happened just a mere 12 hours before, 14 hours before, and thought to myself, like, I'm not gonna let this get in my way. Like, I have a habit of ruminating over things, overthinking things, and I thought, like, it's okay to be emotional about this, but it was a stranger and a horrible thing that happened. It doesn't say anything about anything, and I'm like, I don't want this to affect anything between John and I. And at first I just thought it was the sexual part, that, like, this stranger touched me here, I don't want to think about that every time anyone touches me there. But as, like, the weeks progressed and we ended up going home and we were planning for living in Europe, which we then did, and saw each other briefly over the fall. We live in separate cities in the US, but we were planning on going to Germany together. And instead, what happened was the opposite, that I kept thinking not just of, like, the act and what happened, but more bothered that when I was yelling at John to punch him, he didn't have the same response that I had towards this guy of just wanting to deck him. Rather than just appreciating John's emotional intelligence differences, not for better or for worse, like, they're different than mine. And rather than just appreciating that, I just got so fixated that this event was so symbolic of him not sticking up for me or sticking up for us or planning for the future. And I just let that drive a wedge between us. And it was just the elephant in the room all the time. But I decided in a cowardly way not to bring it up. And it was just easier to think about it in my head or talk to my girlfriends about it. And John really is such a healthy, good yin-yang balance to me. Instead of just dealing with the normal curves that life throws you as a couple, and even though we were in our mid-20s, this was probably our first big one, and I can't say that I know what it feels like to lose a child or, like, face another huge other traumatic event, but I feel like in my own small way, like, you kind of get a taste of that when something happens like that and two people don't decide to take that opportunity to deal with it together and say things, even if you know that they're the wrong emotions to have, that they're your emotions regardless, and deal through it. And I didn't do that. Instead, I asked him to leave, like when I was in Germany, and I immediately regretted it. But then, like, we weren't kids anymore. There were consequences that he had flown to Australia to be with friends there, and there were visa issues, there was like money issues. I had $1,000 in my name. I couldn't grab a plane and go there. And I thought maybe like the break is like a good chance for us just to like, or really a good chance for me to deal with like how I process things, what he means to me, what I need to do like myself, that like it takes two to tango sort of thing, and being more explicit about how I feel and when I feel it. But it took a lot of time, and just like one decision, how it took almost a year and a half before we were in the same place again, like geographically, but then also like mentally, because that like really hurt him, that I took such an extreme path just to like prove a point out of like pride rather than just talking about it as an adult. Why would he want to be with me either if I just took such drastic decisions rather than just talking about it? And it's drama queen written all over it, or like, again, like, fuck you. And I mean, I totally understood that, and it like broke my heart knowing that there may not be an opportunity for us to be together again. But thank God that wasn't in the cards, and we're back together again, and things are great. And I think I'm far better now at, rather than judging my feelings as ones that I need, like I can't have some because they're not logical, or like because I want to be logical to him, that no, it's okay, logical or not, that my feelings are my feelings, and I just need to share them with the person that I'm most intimate with, and like that shouldn't judge right or wrongness of that stuff. And I'm glad, as a life lesson in myself, that I was able to experience something like that at such an earlier age, and something that wasn't as largely traumatic, because I think just that the lesson that you learn letting someone go and then being able to get them back, you're able to put it in perspective in a totally different way, that the little small things that just piss you off from living together, like, it's not a big deal. Think of what the actual drastic alternative is, that he's not in your life. And I know it's absolutely absurd to think in such like cataclysmic ways for everything, but the way my brain works, like, it really does, like, it's a pill to just drop me in a gear of just like perspective. And I just know I have to remind myself of that all the time in a lot of different areas of my life. But I'm glad I have something to bring me always back to that center when it comes to him.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.